with us. Let us pray, call upon the Lord. Father, I echo those words that there's nothing better than you. Because I've tried everything. And I've noticed that those things that I've tried have left me hungrier and hungrier and emptier and emptier. But you're the only one that can bring fullness in my life. You're the only one that can bring satisfaction in my life. And you're the only one that can make things that I seem impossible and turn them into possible. So, Father, would you please today help others to experience that as well? Help the people around us to experience that you're better. That you're better and you're worth it. Help us to hear Jesus. Help Jesus just to whisper to our hearts and our souls and give us an understanding like no other. Reveal your purpose and your glory to us. Bless your children today. Bless those who are watching online. Bless those who watch at a later time. Help them to see that you're for them. And if you're for them, then there's nothing that can be against them. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's perfect name is who we pray. Amen. Well, now you can be seated. Hey, church, as you take a seat, say hi to somebody around you. Just say hi. Say hi to somebody. Don't be a zombie church. Don't be a zombie church. We got to be a friendly church. You heard me? Say, listen, if you're single, you might find the one. Okay? That's not up to me. That's up to God. Just to let you know. We're so excited to have you guys here. As Jake spoke earlier, last week, man, God was doing some amazing things through some people, man. People who are on fire for God participated in Love Week. We serve families. We serve those who are seem unreachable, those who are underserved, and we did some amazing things. And, man, God is just doing some awesome work in our church. I am so proud to be a part of this type of church. We're not a church that just sits back and just comes and listens, go home and do the same old same thing. No, we do what Jesus says, serve. We do what Jesus tells us to do, which is to serve. And we're always going to be committed. Now, if you missed out on Love Week, don't worry. We got more opportunity to serve. Stop out on Main Street. We'd love to get you connected in a very special way. We want to get to know what God is doing and burning in your heart as well. Just to give you guys a little bit of a report before we jump into the message, Doc will be back next week. I'm so excited for him to come back. If those who do not know, our lead pastor takes a very long sabbatical rest to hear from God, to help lead our church in a very special way. And it's an honor to give him some rest. And I know he's watching right now. Doc, I hope you're enjoying a nice cigar. I hope you're sitting back and relaxing, not wearing those skinny jeans and those cowboy boots, but you're just relaxing. Okay? Hopefully I didn't get myself fired. But we're so excited for him to come back. So come back next week. We're going to be celebrating. I can't wait to hear. Listen, we gave that man, what, 8 weeks off? I can't wait to hear what God's been putting in his heart for the last 8 weeks. Like, I'm just ready to hear it. But also, today is a very special day. Today, for our West Campus, including here as well, we are celebrating baptisms. It's Baptism Sunday here at Christ Church. Man, I love what God is doing through the lives of the people here at our church. I don't know if you guys know, from last week when we had our student service over at Hinckley Beach. Last week, I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. Last week, and including this week, over 30 people have committed their lives to Jesus and have gone public with their faith and baptism. And I love what God is doing. Literally, God is changing people. And how does God change people? He changes their heart. Because here's the truth. If God can change your heart, he can change your life. If God can change your heart. Now, to us, we think change has to come, like, externally. Like, if people change, then things will get better. If policies would change, if my circumstances would change, if my salary would change, things would be a lot better. But here's what I want you to understand. Lasting change, progressive change, only happens at the place in the feet of Jesus. And the change we desire, friends, the change you need in your life is made available in Christ today. It's made available in Christ today. And if Jesus can change your heart, man, guess what? He can change your life. And here's how Jesus changed people. Listen. Here's how Jesus changed people. He meets them where they are, but by his grace, he never leaves them how they are. I love that. He meets them at a place, and some of you know what it's like for Jesus to meet you at a place when Jesus whispers and just tells you, come follow me, come and see, see what I have, abide in me, rest in me, be with me, walk with me. And Jesus meets us where we are. Oh, his amazing grace, he never leaves us how we are. And one thing that I love doing here at Christ Church as a pastor, not just the sermons, which I believe God has blessed me to be able to deliver messages to you guys, not just the lead groups and the lead teams, but one of the things that I get the chance to do is get the chance to sit down with people and to hear their stories. And the one thing that I've noticed is God is creating new stories in people's lives. He's recreating a story. He's telling them a whole new story. He's inviting them on a story that he wants them to know today. Last week, I got a chance to sit down with a student, and I asked her about baptism. I said, man, what's making you and drawing you to want to make this decision? And she says, Javon, I come to this conclusion flat out, like one liner, just tell me this. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. Everything else in this world doesn't matter. Everything in this world has failed me. Every other person that I put my total trust in that I thought they never could fail me actually ended up failing me. But I realized Christ is enough. And that's the same story God wants to tell you today. He wants your story. Here's the title of your book. You ready? Christ is enough. That's your story today. Christ is enough. No matter what, the chaos, the craziness in your life, he wants you to know he is enough. And he changes the hearts of people. And friends, if God can get a hold of your heart. But here's the thing. Sometimes we harden our hearts to God. God wants to do something through us, but sometimes we are blocking what he wants to do because he wants to reach our hearts first. And if God can change your heart, man, he can change your life. And so today, we want to talk about, we have a very special service for you. We want to talk about just what does that change look like? How does that change take place today? And I want you to notice, if you're a believer today, if you've been walking with God for a while, God still wants to change you. He still wants to change you. He still wants to do some new things in you. He still wants to conform you into an image better than what you're living today. He wants to conform you to an image where you look more like Christ and less like your old self. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But if you are a little bit skeptic and a little bit on this hold of Christianity, I want you to notice it's available for you today. It's available for you today for God to change your heart, for God to give you something that you ultimately need for today. So let's open up the scriptures. We're jumping into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Who's got their Bibles? Were my people with their physical Bibles going to heaven, 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 going to heaven. The rest of, yeah, there's another one going to heaven. Yeah, I see you, girl. I see you going to heaven. You didn't bring it last week. I know you did it. You had an iPhone last time. I saw it. Listen, I don't forget. People don't forget. We're going to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the Apostle Paul is going to talk to us about what God does in a person's hearts, in a person's heart, about how he begins to change them, and what does that look like, and what does that initially mean, and how that can be made available for us today. So open up 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple verses, verses 17 to 21. It goes like this. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Now, if you have your physical Bibles, circle that word in Christ. You need to take a mental note. This is the Apostle Paul's consistent theme throughout all of his letters, that believers would understand what it means to be in Christ. In Christ means this at a surface level, a relationship with Jesus. But at a deeper level, and we're called to go deeper, it means that everything you do funnels through everything who he is. That your life is consistent and it is patterned by Christ. That he himself is the center of every decision, of every thought, how you treat your wife, how you treat your family, how you treat your loved ones, how you go about at your work. That's what it means to be in Christ. So when you're in Christ, the Apostle Paul is going to say, this is what it looks like. This is what it means. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, there it is again, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting to us a message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Verse 21, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For our sake, he made him to be sin, but he knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul tells us right off the bat, what does it mean when one encounters Jesus? And today, I hope you just have a real encounter with him. Again, if you're a follower of Jesus, I just hope you encounter him again. If you're not, man, I hope you encounter him in a fresh and beautiful way. And Paul is going to tell us what it's like when one encounters Jesus. Did you catch it in verse 17? He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. So the very first thing God wants to change, listen to this, God wants to change your identity. God wants to give you a new identity. God wants to bring this newness into your life, because when he changes your heart, he changes your identity. Christ didn't just come to die for sin. Christ also came to give you a new identity. We can look around the world today. Let's just be honest. Most of our issues has to do with identity. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with what someone else says. It has all to do with the fact that we don't know who we are. And when you don't know who you are, you won't know how to live. When you don't know a sense of who you are, you won't know how to live. And people are walking around not knowing who they are and just doing things and trying to grab onto things to give them purpose, to give them meaning, and all of those things. And the truth of the matter is sometimes we are carrying a sense of ourselves because what we've experienced. We allow who we are to be defined, to be determined from what we've been through. Because little do you know, your past sometimes develops who you become. Your past, what you've been through, what you've gone through, because here's the thing, all of us got a past today. Don't look at me like, oh, y'all ain't got no past. You got nothing to do with me. Don't look at me crazy. Online team, put a clap emoji in there. Tell me I'm preaching. All of us, we got a past. My best friend's in the house today, and he would tell you that I have a past, right? He would tell you that I have a past. And here's the truth. Here's the truth about it. Sometimes our past carries into who we are today. Sometimes what we've been through has developed in who we become. And one time I asked a guy that went to our church, I said, hey, man, why are you always angry? I mean, every time I saw this guy, he was mad. Like, mad. His eyebrows is all crooked. I mean, just weird. I had muscle jumps. I said, bro, why are you always mad? What's wrong with you? Why are you always mad? He says, I don't know. Why don't you ask my dad when he left me at 7? Okay. I won't talk to you no more. I haven't seen him since. But the truth of the matter is we don't know our past has shaped who we've become. Some of the reasons why you do what you do is because of what you've been through. Some of the reasons why you act the way you act because of what was done. Some of the reasons why you treat your spouse a certain way is because of what you didn't get. Some of you are angry because of the neglect you had when you were younger. Some of you are unforgiving because of what somebody didn't do. And I've noticed this too. We all fall in these two categories when it comes to our past. Number one, a lot of us got past failures. Let me break it down. Let me go a little deeper. A lot of us are dirty. I mean, some real dirt. I mean, a lot of us got some real things that have happened into our lives. A lot of us have hurt people. A lot of us have gone places. A lot of us have said things that we shouldn't have said. And sometimes, if we're not careful, sometimes our past failures shapes our present self. Sometimes our past failures, and we believe we are because of what we've been through. We believe who we are because of what I've done in my life. Some of us say, I'm always going to be like this. I'm always going to be in this type of way, and I'm always just this type of person. We identify ourselves in that way. And a lot of us, maybe you don't have as many past failures, but maybe you fit this other one, or maybe you're like me, you fit both of them. Maybe you got some past wounds. I know a lot of us can compare to that, because just as much as you've hurt people, people have really hurt you. And here's the thing, that hurt carries. Some of you are still acting like a 13-year-old who was hurt yesterday, and you're 50, and you're married. And you have children. And it's not them that you're yelling at, it's what happened that you're yelling at. And what happens is those things begin to distort who we are. And we believe that we are those things. We believe that that's just it. We define ourselves about that. And you ever had a moment in your life, you just wish you can change some things? Am I the only sinner in here? Do you wish you can just be like the that last basic Avenger movie that had the time machine and went all the way back? It was the worst movie ever. Well, let's change the future by going back to the past. Oh, my gosh. But sometimes I want to do that in my own life. Sometimes I wish I can go all the way back and do the things. You ever had this moment in your life? You ever been like, I wish I would have taken this a little bit more serious. I wish I would have given this more of my attention. And it's good to process things in a way to bring more wisdom in your life, because sometimes the most wisdom that you get is through the chaos that you create. But sometimes it gets to the point where we begin to over-identify ourselves, and it leads to shame. It leads to shame. And that's how we live. This is just who we believe we are. And we want to just change the past. There are some things I wish I can change that I did in my family. I just wish there were these things that I can just go back and I can undo. But here's the truth, friends. Here's the truth. God doesn't need to change your past because he forgives it. God doesn't need to change your past. He doesn't need to go back and undo and create a new timeline in your life or anything like that. He doesn't need to go back. What he does, he completely covers it with forgiveness. And you have to believe and you have to understand that in Christ you are completely forgiven. That he sees you not because of your past failure. That he sees you not because of someone else's failure. He sees you as a son. He sees you as his daughter. He sees you as his own. If you can just believe that, then it will be different for you. That's why you need a new identity. So you can stop allowing the old. You can clap. You can clap. You go clap. Commit to it. You'll clap, commit to it. That's why, because so much of the old is pulling on us. And you got to get deep with God. You got to say, God, what is the dirt that is in my life that is making me more and more angry, more and more manipulative, more and more controlling? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. What are those things in your life, God? And he wants to make those things new. But not only does God forgive it, is the most important. I'm preaching, I know. He also redeems it. He redeems your past. Part of trusting God is not trusting him with what you've done, but trusting him to who you want him, who you are. It's trusting him in a direction. You're saying, God, I believe in the resurrection. I believe Jesus died for me, not because it gives me a good feeling, because all the evidence points to it, but I believe that not only Jesus died, but you can show me who I am. But you can show me who I am. You can lead me to who I need to be. And you can redeem my past. And you can take what was broken. And you can realign it. You can take what was taken from me. And you can reconfirm it. You can do all new things in my life. That's what I believe. One of my favorite stories is Jacob Lacoste. I don't know how to say his last name. Jacob Lacoste runs the largest anti-sex trafficking organization in the world. Now, Jacob's got an interesting story. Jacob was actually born from a mother who was sex trafficked. She was 15 years old, and she gave birth to this beautiful baby boy. A couple months later, the mother dies from a disease. So now the baby goes into foster care. And the baby goes into foster care, and he goes to 7 different homes. And then eventually he ages out. No money, no education, no family. No experience. And he talked about it. At one point in his life, he blamed God for everything. He blamed God for everything. But then he said, you know what? I've spent too much of my time blaming God instead of asking him what he wants to do with what I've been through. That's how he redeems it. See, we can point out the finger and you can blame whoever hurt you all your life. But it's just going to make you spin in more circles more and more and more. You're going to be doing this, going nowhere, Just spinning in circles. You can sit there and blame that your dad didn't do this. You can curse him all you want. You can curse whoever you want in your life. But here's the truth, friends. We can either spend time blaming or we can spend time asking God what he wants to do through it. And now he runs the largest anti-sex trafficking organization in the world because he said, I'm not going to sit here and wallow and be a victim in my past. Instead, I'm going to trust God for what he wants to do. What does he want to do through me? God, what do you want to do with the brokenness? God, I know I shouldn't have done this, but what do you want to do with it? I know you can purposely point me somewhere to where I need to go. What do you want to do through me? I know they weren't there for me, and they hurt me, and every time I think about it, it just brings me to tears. But here's the thing. I know that you can take what was and create beauty out of it. You turn beauty from ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one again. It's the same thing in our lives today. It's the same thing in our lives today. God has to make you brand new. One pastor says this, if you never learn how to die to your past, you'll never ever be able to live at all. If you never learn how to die to the things that was, you'll never be able to live at all. And the Apostle Paul wants us to understand that God does this miraculous just work inside of somebody's heart when you completely are open to him and you sit with him and you just sit with him and you abide in him and you say, God, help me not to allow myself to be identified with the old things, but help me to be noticing the new things that you want to do through me. Help my life not to be convinced that this is what it is, but help me to be reminded by who you are. And then Paul helps us to understand, listen, God wants to create a new identity in you. But most importantly, through this new identity comes a greater purpose. He now wants to give you a new calling. Did you catch it in verses 19 and 20? He says this. He says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Listen to this. Listen to this. God entrusted to us a message of reconciliation. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I find it interesting, Paul wasn't always like this. He was a modern-day terrorist. He went around killing Christians. He went around taking them out of their homes. He went around doing all these things. He hated Christianity. He hated Jesus. And then guess what? Jesus knocked him off his horse. Jesus met him where he was. But guess what? He didn't leave him how he was. And now he went from hating Christians to now he's an ambassador for Christians. Now, here's the one thing I want you to know. God does the same thing in our lives. He not only gives us a new identity, he now gives us a greater purpose. And here's your purpose, friends. Serve others through the gift he has put in you. He says, God entrusted me with this message. God has given me something purposeful to do in my life, and what I do with it today matters than how I carry it tomorrow. I'm going to be a good steward in it. I'm going to dive in it, and I'm going to serve people in it. And the same thing goes for you today, that your purpose is to serve out of a place of your identity, which is what? In Christ. You serve your family because you're in Christ. You serve your way at work because you're in Christ. You serve those who are opposite of the lifestyle that you choose, and you serve them what? Through Christ. You are an ambassador. You are purposeful. You have been giving something special. God says, not only do I give you salvation, I now give you purpose in your life. Now go out, further the kingdom. Go out, tell all the nations. Go out, tell everybody. Let the light shine through you so people can know who I am. And that's your calling today. That's you and I today. That's our purpose. That's what we do. My purpose is not to raise up my platform. My purpose isn't to get more notoriety. My purpose isn't to get more people to like me. But my purpose is so people can see Christ through me. So people can see Christ through me. So when people say, how are you are the way you are? What did I say last week? But God. So God gives us this new identity, but also he gives a greater purpose in our lives. So what does this all mean? How can we all break this down? So when God gives us this new identity, When God changes your heart, when God changes your life, He changes who you are. And then He gives you a calling and a purpose so you can know what to do. And when you bring those two together, here's what it initially means. Freedom. Freedom. To be honest with you today, friends, I'm not free. I'm not free because I allow the past and the hurts and the failures to continue to rob me. I'm not free. Let me ask you a question. Are you free? Are you free today? Are you free from the things that are continuously keeping you from living the identity that Christ put in you? Are you free today? One of my favorite pastors that I'm growing very fond of, Thomas Brooks, says this: the gospel is a true story of liberation, and Jesus is God's answer for your freedom. Martin Luther says this: God changes all your depravity and captivity in exchange for the freedom and purity that is in Christ. Because at the end of the day, God wants to give you a deeper satisfaction that He is enough so that you can be free. And here's the thing about freedom. Freedom isn't fundamentally in an ideology. Freedom isn't fundamentally in a theory. Freedom isn't fundamentally in a practice. Freedom is in a person. And I'm going to ask you again, are you free? Ask yourself the real question. Have you sat down and pondered, are you free? Are you free from the constant need to be liked? Or are you like me, every time you post something on social media, you check every 5 seconds to see who liked it? Because you care about the opinions of strangers more than the approval of the God, your Savior. Hopefully I'm not talking to myself today. Are you free from the constant need to be like? Are you free from the constant need to have everything so you can feel whole and secure? Are you free from having the last word in every conversation? Are you free from the need to control everything and everyone? Are you free from that? Last night, my son spent a night over his Gigi's house, and I called her every 5 seconds. Am I right? And she was so annoyed. She was like, stop calling me. Didn't I raise you, baby? And I just kept calling because I wanted to control everything, and I wanted to control everyone. And I need to be free from that. Because here's the thing. It's funny now, but sometimes that seeps into my leadership. It seeps into my leadership. And now it affects everything. It seeps into my marriage. Most important thing to me. Yeah. Are you free from that? Are you free from the constant need to control everything and everyone? Are you free from the addiction? Are you free from allowing yourselves to be defined by your relationships? Are you free from the anger? Are you free from unforgiveness? Are you free from the abandonment and the betrayal? Are you free from anxiety and depression? Here's the truth, friends. Freedom we desire has been delivered through the man Jesus Christ today. He gives you a new identity. He gives you a new purpose so you don't be tied down to the old things. Little do some of you know, your bank account can be full. Your house, you can have a Ryan home for all God's sakes. I don't know. But you can still be more captive than you ever could imagine. And God says, freedom is what I give. Freedom is what I have. You can be free. He came down to break the power of sin, so you don't be captivated by it. To break the power of the past so you don't be hindered by it. So you can stop telling yourself the lies and start walking in the truth. So you can stop telling yourself what was, but trust Him for what will. So you can stop doing those things. He says it's right here. But here's how we hinder it. Pride. Javon, this is the third week we talked about pride. Yeah, I get it. We need to talk about every week. Pride. I'm good. I don't need this Jesus guy. I'm good. I'm good. I don't need this pastor. Great message, but I don't need this. Great message. This is really good, but I don't need this. See, the key to your freedom is humility. God, I'm stuck. God, my marriage is failing. It's because of me. God, my leadership is crumbling. It's because of me. God, I don't know who I am. God, I need a better way. Here's the truth, friends. God wants to give you a fresh start today. You hear that truth? God wants to give you a fresh start today. If you're a believer, you've been a seasoned Christian for a very long time, I need you to understand this. We often need a fresh start. Amen? Listen, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Jesus, because I messed up last morning. But anyway, this is a fresh start he wants to give you. You need a fresh start in your marriage, he can give it to you today. You need a fresh start in your family, he can give it to you today. You need a fresh start in your mind and your heart, he can give it to you today. He can give you that fresh start. And if you're far from God, you've walked away from God, you've been hurt by others, I want you to understand this, that fresh start is for you today. God says, come home. Like the prodigal son, you think you're free, but you're actually more trapped than you think. He says, come home. Walk with me. Here's my fresh start to you. But God, what if I mess up? God, what if I go back to doing the same things? Don't worry. I'll give you another fresh start. I'll do it again. But God, what if I never get better? Oh, look to Jesus. Because I'm not looking for your perfection. All of that went on to him. Because every time you go back, Christ says, look what I've done. He intercedes for us. He says, Father, look at my scars. Look at my scars. I know so-and-so did this, but look at my scars. And all of that falls onto him so that you can be free. He wants to give you a fresh start today. You've been wandering in your faith. You come to church, but you're not really close to God. You read your Bible, but you feel very distant. Close your heart to God. This is my encouragement to you. This is my encouragement. Open your heart. Let him in. Let him give you a fresh start today. Let him renew the things that he wants to renew. Let him give to you the things he wants to give to you. Let him give you what you always have desired, freedom. You've always desired freedom. You just tried to find it in the wrong places. You thought you found freedom in relationships, but guess what? People suck. Can I get an amen? You try to find it in your employment, but it doesn't work. Because freedom is in a man. That man is Jesus Christ. What would it look like if you had that fresh start today? And all you got to do, listen to this, is believe. What costs Christ so much costs you very little. Belief. Faith. Belief. Say, God, I just want to be open to what you're doing in my life. I'm tired of holding on to what dad did and what mom did and what they did. And God, I just need to be free. I need to be free so I can become, so I can live the way that I need to for my family. I need this freedom. I need it. What would it look like if you opened up your heart today?
Grandma used to pray out loud by her bed every night. To me it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, girl, this kind of prayer is what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime. Now I know she was right. She was talking to Jesus. She was talking to Jesus. She's been talking to Jesus for all of her life. used to drag me to church Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, khaki pants and a polo shirt. Yeah, I put up a fight. She said, girl, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life. Yeah, I know she was right. Yeah, my mama was right. 'Cause now I'm talking to Jesus. She's got me talking to Jesus. I'm talking to Jesus. My mama was right. 'Cause now I'm talking to Jesus. Yeah, I love talking to Jesus. And I'll be talking to Jesus for the rest of my life. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. Oh, what a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, I've got three of my own now, trying to raise them all bright. My oldest is 15. I remember what it was like. Trying to deal with the drama, trying to figure out the questions in life. Looking for a way to show him how to make it all right. Then he walked in my room. I was saying my prayers the other night. Tell you got a lot on your mind. I said it's not an interruption. You couldn't have picked a better time. 'Cause I was just talking to Jesus. Come over and give it a try. We started talking to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. We started talking. friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh.
Church, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. You know, church, last week we had a very special moment. Last week we had our beach service for our students out at Hinckley Beach. I was really nervous because it was my first time ever doing like a service outside for our students, outside of the church. And so I was kind of like, I don't know how people are going to respond, but we proceeded with the service anyway. And so we're there, we're all set up, there are people there. Some of you were there or here today. And then this guy walks up. Now I'm preaching and I'm giving the message. I got the Bible in my hand, got a mic in my other hand, and I'm giving this message, and I look over and this guy walks up. A couple things I noticed. Number one, his shirt was off, and I was like, okay, this student, whatever, you know, okay. Then I noticed this across his chest, it said white power. He comes up and he sits down, Indian style, in the grass. I've never seen a man sit Indian style in my life. So already off to a really bad start. If I did, these jeans would rip. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And so I continued with the message, and you know, I get done, and he's the first person to me. That's what he says. He says this. I need to be free from hate today. So I need to be free from hate. I grew up all my life hating people like you. I need to be free. So I talked to him and prayed over him. He shared his story with me. He was in prison for 11 years and was shot and stabbed and all these things have happened. He said, I just needed to hear that message. And I'm just so thankful for you. I said, oh, no problem. Yeah, God bless you, man. So we go on with service and we do baptisms for our kids, and man, you should have seen it. All of Hinckley was watching. I mean, everybody, you know, even if they weren't with us, they were there cheering us on. Am I right, Therese? I mean, it was awesome. It was amazing. And we get done, and you know, everybody's back doing their own thing, taking pictures with their families, with their activities, eating ice cream, and all of those things. And he walks up to me again, and I'm like, gosh, bro, go home. What do you want? Comes up to me, he says, can I get baptized? And I said, yeah, man, for sure. I said, yeah. And then we started talking, and we talked more, and he's crying, and you know, everybody's off doing their own thing, and I'm saying to myself, all right, I'm just going to kind of baptize him in the corner so nobody can see, but I'm just going to do my own thing, you know, and whatnot. I kid you not, by the time we turned around, everybody was back watching again. And his friends were there. And he looks at me, he says, I never thought a black guy would baptize me. I said, God is funny, my guy. God is funny. And so he goes down, comes up. Says this last words to me, I feel free. I feel free. Here's the thing, friends. Here's the thing. Here's the truth. You know, because of Jesus, nothing and no one is beyond redemption. Because of Christ, nothing and no one is beyond redemption. All you gotta do is talk to him. All you gotta do is say, I need to be free. I need this. I got hate in my own heart today. May not be the same hate as him, but I got some real things that I'm wrestling with today. Just talk to him. Talk to Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Whoa. Sing that with us, church. What a friend we have.